God, we thank you that you are with us. We thank you that we have the privilege of being in your presence, that we can call on you, God, that even when we feel far, your word says that you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. God, I thank you that you are right here. If you need something from God, or even if you just want to express to God how much you love him, you just take what you need. You just ask God, God, I need you. He's right there with you. I need your healing. I need you to fill me. I need you to mend my broken heart. I need you to speak to me. I need you to reveal yourself to me. There's someone in this room that you've never experienced the presence of God, and you're just saying, God, I want to know that you're real, but I need to experience you. God's going to show himself to you right now. God, we just praise you. We lift you up. We give you all the glory and all the honor, God. We thank you, God, that you are all powerful. We thank you, God, that you are all merciful, that you look at us imperfect, and you say, I forgive you. I love you. I want you. I choose you. Thank you for choosing us, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. How's it going? Good. I feel a strong presence of the Lord here. I really do. I'm expecting for something amazing to happen in this room. And I hope that you guys are expecting that if you need something in your life, that you know that it's going to happen. You know that God is going to touch you. Not just you hope it, not just you wish it, but God wants to bring out an expectation in us that he is going to move in our lives. Before I even jump into the message, I just want to say thank you to our pastors for allowing me the opportunity to speak. We have great leaders, guys. Can we just give it up for our amazing leadership? I realized earlier, this is maybe the third or fourth time that I've spoken to you guys, and I realized that this is the first time that my dad has been here while I'm speaking. He's usually off speaking somewhere else, and so now a nervousness has come over me. It's okay. I'm getting some of his glory right now. So close. I also want to just take a second and honor my wife, April, who's right here up front. You guys may see me more than you see her, but I can tell you she does more than I do. And I'm just so appreciative of her and everything that she does. If you guys don't know her, please take time to get to know her. She is powerful, anointed. She is beautiful. She is wise. I was telling our team the other day that when I was praying about something, I had two options, and I just was praying for a few weeks, and I didn't necessarily like hear anything specific to go one way or the other. And I asked April about it, and she said, "Well, this is what I would think." And I just take that as the voice of God in my life. She is so significant. In the way that God moves in our lives and in Chloe's life, and I just really appreciate you. I love you. See that? All right, so let me jump in. We're starting a new series today. We're calling this series Closer. Closer. And as the team was kind of putting this series together and talking through the messages, we were talking about how important it is for our healths and for our lives, for our growth, our spiritual and mental development, for us to be close to the right things, for us to be close to the right people. It's so important. You know, God has placed people in our lives, and God has placed us around the people that he wants us to be close to. God has placed us around the things he wants us to be close to. And sometimes we can fall into our lives being just, we're going to be close to who it's convenient to be close to, and we're going to follow the things that just our hearts tell us to follow. But the truth is that God has a plan for us. God has the right people for us to be close to. God has the right things for us to be close to. And even as I'm saying the word closer, I know that that can be even a trigger for some people in this room, because closeness means vulnerability. Closeness means that we're opening ourselves up to hurt. Maybe some of us have been hurt by relationships in the past, and so when we hear about closer, we seize up a little bit and we almost put up a wall. But the truth is that God wants you and I to be closer. He wants us to be closer as a church, closer as a community. But the truth is that in our society, our culture today, we're more divided now than we've ever been. We're more isolated as a culture than we've ever been. We're more lonely. There are more lonely people now than there's ever been in our culture. We have fake closeness, which can be really dangerous because it can give us the impression that we're close. We substitute real friends for friends on Facebook. We substitute conversations and getting lifted up by each other with how many followers we have or how many likes we get on a picture. And we have you noticed that most people will never RSVP to anything? We never RSVP because what if something better or different comes up? I don't know. And usually that better thing is just Netflix. Come on, be real now. Who here has skipped a party that they said they were going to because they wanted to watch House of Cards? Let's get real. Come on now. I have. I know. You guys are liars, man. Bunch of liars. I'm going to ask you guys for a favor as I'm preaching this message. I need you guys to make some noise. I'm not one of those, I'm not one of those guys that just, I really don't love hearing myself talk. So if it's just me up here and I don't hear anything from you guys, I'm going to start to get real nervous and I'm going to start to talk more, okay? So if you guys get excited about something, amen me, stand up, shout me down. Just let me know you're out there, because faith increases when we increase our faith. Does that make sense? So it doesn't just happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, electricity doesn't just happen. We have to increase our faiths together. Does that make sense? All right. Why is it so hard for us to connect, even when we desperately want to? Sometimes we can be so afraid of connecting, getting closer. God has a lot to say about who he wants us to be close to and the types of things he wants us to be close to. And the good news is that he gives us the strength and the ability, even when we've had pain, even when we have experienced hurt in our lives, he gives us the strength and the ability to move closer to the things he wants us to be closer to and farther away from the things that he wants us to be farther from. And I want to talk to you guys a little bit about that. My biggest fear, somebody asked me this a couple weeks ago, asked me about my fear. My biggest fear in ministry, I think. I don't have many fears just in my own life, but my biggest fear in ministry is that I don't reach my full potential for the purpose that God has for me. Like, my fear is that I'll get to heaven and that I'll have done this much, and God will say, well, that was great, but I had this much for you to do. I had this much influence for you. I had this much power for you. I had this much anointing for you. I had this much calling for you. And I think the thing that stands in the way, the difference between down here and up here for us reaching our calling, is the people in our lives that we choose to follow. The people in our lives that we choose to be close to. The things that we choose to let influence us. And you know, there are a lot of people in this church that are such amazing people behind the scenes doing things, and they never ever get heard of, or they never ever stand up here. And the truth is that as a society, we can follow people for such silly reasons. We can follow the wrong things for really kind of dumb reasons. I actually thought it would be a lot of fun for me to share with you guys a few Instagram accounts. Who's on Instagram? Instagram. Okay, cool. So I thought it would be fun just to illustrate, to share with you guys a few Instagram accounts that are totally stupid, yet tons of people are choosing to follow. All right? So the first one is called The Same Picture of Chris Pratt. And all these guys do is they share the same picture of Chris Pratt every single day. They have 10,500 followers. That's all they do is share this picture. Second one is called Cash Cats. And this is just an account that shares pictures of cats in piles of money. And Cash Cats has 160,000 followers. And then there's Satiregram. Satiregram only posts pictures of Post-its describing pictures. And they have 167,000 followers. So dumb. And then, maybe some of you will relate to this next one. This next Instagram account is called Miserable Men. Miserable Men. This Instagram account is pictures of men sitting in malls outside of the stores that their wives are shopping in. And this account has 321,000 followers. Some of you men are pulling your phones out right now. You may see yourself, don't. And finally, we have Hot Dudes with Dogs. This account posts, you guessed it, pictures of hot dudes with dogs, and they have 444,000 followers. I see you ladies, you're like, yeah, so stupid, ha ha. It's so true. We can decide to follow such dumb things. We can decide to be close to things that don't matter. Or even, can I say this, people that don't matter. Everybody matters to God, but not everyone should matter to you. I just want to release some people in this room from thinking that everyone around you should have a piece of your heart and a piece of your mind. Some of us have to get a filtration system for the people in our lives. God calls us to love everybody because Jesus loves everybody. But that doesn't mean that we have to be close to everybody. That doesn't mean that if somebody wants to talk to us, that they should influence our minds. You know, the difference between Jesus and us is that Jesus is unlimited. He is unlimited. We are limited. We have a limited amount of ourselves, which means we have to be very careful. We're a resource. We have to see ourselves as a resource. We have to be very careful with who we let in our inner circle. We have to be very intentional about the types of people and the types of things we want to be close to. The types of things that we follow, the types of things that we read online, the types of channels that we watch, how much info we're taking into our minds. You know, we were not created to process every bit of information that this world has to offer. Did you know that? Actually, if you're watching news 24/7, that can be quite damaging. Because it's not, God didn't build us to have an opinion about everything. Did you know that? God built us to listen to what he says and the things that are written down in his word. And that's what builds our conscience. That's what builds our mind. That's what builds our heart. We have to be so careful with who we're getting close to. As a matter of fact, let me say it this way. Who and what you're close to will determine your destiny. Who and what you're close to, the things you're close to, the things you're following, and the people you're following, the people that you're close to, will determine your destiny. Let me give you an example in Scripture, Exodus 3. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of the bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it." Look at this next verse. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. It was only once God saw moving closer that God decided to speak. It wasn't enough for Moses to see from afar that bush and say, "Wow, look at that." It's not enough for us to just know about who God is or to see the amazing things that he's doing in other people's lives for him to speak. Actually, if we want God to speak in our lives, we got to move in closer to him. And only then will he speak. Every once in a while, he does knock somebody off of their donkey and he speaks to them. But most of the time, it's we see it and we have to make a decision that we're going to go in for a closer look. We have to make that decision. There was something on the inside of Moses that said, "I need to be there. There's something going on, and I have to see what's going on." I wonder what would have happened in Moses' life if he was following his sheep and he saw the burning bush off in the distance. And he said, "Man, that bush looks crazy, but I got some sheep to follow." I wonder how many of us in this room has God called us to him, closer to him, so that he can reveal his purpose to us. And we said, "That sounds great, but I have some sheep I got to follow." When we see God, when we see the potential of God speaking in our lives, when we see him, we cannot just look and say, "That's great, but I'm already doing my thing." We have to drop whatever it is that we're doing. We have to move closer to the purpose of God so that he can speak to us. Sometimes God asks us to go to him for him to speak. There are three things that I want to talk to you about today that God calls us to be closer to. Number one, God calls us to be closer to God, of course. But not just closer to God, more specifically the heart of God. God calls us to know him. God calls us to know his likes and his dislikes. He calls us to commune with him, to talk with him. You know, I'm in a lot of meetings with Pastor Chip, our executive over operations. And that's one kind of closeness, being in the room with him. But it's because I've known him for most of my life that even when he's not in the room, I can know, as we're making decisions, I can know, what would Pastor Chip want? What would he say yes to? What would he say no to? Because I've learned his heart. You see the difference? There's a physical closeness, and you can be in this room and experiencing or looking around and seeing other people experiencing God, and you can feel like, "What is going on? Why don't I feel what everybody else is feeling?" It's because God wants to move closer to your heart. He wants you to get a sense of his heart and who he is. There's a couple things that happen when we move closer to God. The first thing that happens is he saves us. In Matthew 14, it says, "Then Peter called to him, 'Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water.' 'Yes, come,' Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong winds and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. 'Save me, Lord,' he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him." Jesus saved him. But it was only once Peter decided that he was going to step out of the boat and start walking towards Jesus. And sometimes we can feel like, "Man, I have doubts. I have fears. I'm not worthy to get close to Jesus." No, it's actually our fears and our doubts that Jesus saves us from when we move closer to him. We can't let the very thing that God wants to help us with be the thing that stops us from moving closer. We have to get out of the boat when we see in the distance, when there's waves all around us, when our boat is taking on water, because the truth is, that's most likely when Jesus will come to you. That's most likely when Jesus will ask you to get out of the boat. It's not when things are going great. Sometimes he comes to you right in the middle of the storm. And he says, "In the middle of this storm, are you going to step out of your boat and walk on the water towards me?" Another thing that happens when we move closer to God is he gives us revelation of our purpose. Again, with Moses, Moses was called on when he was 80 years old. What would have happened if he would have kept on walking with those sheep? Would God have found someone else? No, Moses moved closer to God, and God gave him revelation of what he was here to do. When you move closer to God, not only do you feel better, not only do you have a sense of who God is, but God will actually share with you what he's put you here to do. He may not give you the whole picture, but he will give you the next steps to take. He will give you his plan for your life. He will give you his purpose for your life. I was away at camp with my wife and the youth group. And by the way, thank you so much for your generosity. We had 7 salvations, people giving their lives to the Lord, and a lot more rededications. Yeah, give it up for that. That's amazing. And we were talking on the same thing of closer. And one of our amazing leaders, Bill Riddle, who's right here, he said something that just so stuck with me. He said, one of the indicators that you're close to Jesus is what happens when you say his name. What happens when you say his name? With Peter, started to sink, and he said, Jesus. And Jesus saved him. He grabbed him. So another thing that happens when we move closer to God is he heals us. God wants to heal us when we move closer to him. God wants us to get past our fears, to say, I'm desperate for healing. I'm desperate for God to touch me, move in my life. In Mark 5, we read, as a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I'll be healed. So here's this woman facing this terrible internal bleeding issue for 12 years. And she's on the outside of this crowd. There's a crowd around Jesus swarming him because everybody wants something from God. And she knows that Jesus has the ability to heal her. But knowing isn't enough. Knowing isn't all it takes. She knew, and she was so desperate. And she said, I have to get to Jesus. If I could just touch him, if I could just get close enough to him, I know that I'll find my healing. Immediately the bleeding stopped when she touched Jesus' robe, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out of him. How crazy is that? So he turned around the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? His disciples said to him, look at this crowd around you. What do you mean who touched your robe? Everybody's touching you. He kept on looking around to see who'd done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. What I find amazing is that this woman, she did what she did, thinking that it wasn't right of her to do. She was so desperate. But when Jesus was looking around, she was like, oh, I got to fess up. Because she thought what she had done was wrong. And some of us don't want to approach Jesus because we're so afraid of what he might do or what he might say or how he might feel about us that we don't even want to approach him. But Jesus loves us so much. He cares about us so much. He has healing for you. But you have to push through the crowd. And you know what I think? I think that this woman, while she was going through the crowd, I think she got knocked to the floor. Some translations say that she touched the hem of his robe. Well, hems are right down here. So I think that as she was going, she's weak from her condition.
I think she got knocked over. She probably got stepped on a few times. She probably had to step on a few toes herself, but she was so desperate that she just knew that if I get close enough to him, I'm going to get my healing. And that's exactly what happened to her. Some of us have to push through the crowd. Some of us have to ignore the people around us. Some of us have to maybe even, with fear of stepping on some toes or even getting stepped on ourselves, we have to do whatever it takes. We have to be desperate for our healing. It's in desperation that Jesus, even without his knowing healing power, left his body. It wasn't even him that activated it. It was her getting closer to him that activated the power that she experienced in her life. And some of us have to do exactly that. We have to move closer to our God. It's not enough to just believe in Jesus. It's not enough to stand outside the crowd and believe. But this woman, she had a realization. She knew the power of proximity. She knew that there's power when you get closer. And if you're not sure about the power of proximity, you just think about Paul and Silas in Acts 16. When they're in prison, they're chained, it's midnight, and they decide that they're going to start worshiping God. They say, in our cell, we're going to start worshiping God. There are prisoners all around them. And when they worshiped, when they lift their hands, there was a great earthquake. And their chains fell off and their cell door swung open. But it wasn't just their cell door and their chains. All the other prisoners around them were set free. All those doors opened up. All those chains fell off. You don't know when you get close to God what can happen when you worship God to the people around you. You could be setting people free around you. Maybe you're not even experiencing something. But if you are close to God, if you're close to God, you can actually be setting the people around you free. You can be setting your family free. You could be setting your sons or your daughters free, the ones that are far from God. You could be setting your boss free. You could be setting your coworkers free. That lady in the break room that you don't like, you could be setting her free. But we have to get close enough to God. That's why when we worship together, it's not just enough for the worship team, for Pastor Nicole, as amazing as they are, we have to worship together. We have to go for it together because faith is a substance. Faith is a substance. And there could be someone standing right next to you that's not feeling a thing, but they look around at all this faith. That's actually my wife's testimony. She was at a Christian conference and she was unsaved. She wasn't feeling anything, but she saw all these thousands of teenagers around worshiping and she thought, there must be something going on here. All these people can't be faking it at the same time. And so she opened her heart to Jesus. She said, God, if you're real, I want to experience what these people around me are experiencing. And God flooded her life and changed her. You don't know when you're close to Jesus. You don't know what your praise does for other people. You don't know. You're probably not even going to see all the people that you're touching until we get to heaven. When I get to heaven, I want to meet people. I want to meet people that are like, man, I got saved because of you. And I'm like, I don't even know who you are. That's what I want. And you know what? I want to meet my spiritual grandchildren in heaven. People that got saved because of the people that got saved because of me worshiping. You know what I'm saying? I want my life to mean something, so I have to be close to Jesus. Number two. How am I doing? Thank you. Yeah. All right. Second thing that God wants us to be closer to, he wants us to be closer to the right people. The right people. The right people. Come on, somebody. The right people. The right people. Not just closer to anybody. God has something to say about the people in your life. God has something to say about who you're letting speak into your mind and into your thought process. I think it's amazing to have all different types of friends. I have all different kinds of friends. One of the things that excites me most about friendships is the beauty of different perspectives and the beauty of different backgrounds and the beauty of different beliefs. And the beauty of different people that can speak into how I think and make me think, oh, that's interesting. But you know what? Not everyone should be in your inner circle. Not everyone should have a piece of your heart and have a piece of your mind and have a piece of the way that you live your life. Not everyone should be able to speak into who you are as a person. The power of proximity works both ways. So if we're getting close to people that we shouldn't be getting close to, it could actually be damaging our purpose. It could be damaging our future. God has great people he wants in your life, but so many of us do settle because of convenience. Well, this is who I go to school with, so this is who I'm going to be friends with. Well, this is the only guy that will talk to me, so this is who I'm going to be with. Well, this is the only girl that will say nice things to me, so I guess I'll marry her. We laugh, it's funny, but I think we'd all be shocked in this room to find out how often that happens. Just convenience, convenience. Even Jesus knew who he was going and where he was going and who he was going with. And he knew where he wasn't going, and he knew who he wasn't going to be around. In Matthew 12, maybe some of you haven't heard this section of scripture before, but Matthew 12 says, as Jesus was speaking to the crowd, as Jesus was preaching, as Jesus was testifying, as Jesus was changing some people's lives, his mother and brother stood outside asking to speak to him. Someone told Jesus, your mother and your brother are standing outside and they want to speak to you. So his mother and his brother were standing outside, and they wanted him to stop what he was doing for God so that they could spend time with him. So Jesus asked, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Dang, Jesus, burn. Then he pointed to his disciples, and said, look, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. What's Jesus saying here? Jesus is saying, I can't let anybody, no matter who they are, knock me off of what God has called me to do. I have a purpose here. I have things that I'm doing for God. And I cannot stop what I'm doing to go and hang out with these guys over here. Love them. Great. Thanks. I love you guys. But I got a plan and a purpose. I got things I got to get done. And it's surprising to me how many of us believers, how many of us followers of Jesus, how we let the world, people who aren't even following God, influence the way that we're thinking and the way that we feel. They knock us off of what Scripture says. You can't let them. Even if it's your mother, even if it's your brother, why are we listening to people who aren't even following Christ for how we should think about the world? God has plenty to say about how he wants us to treat people in his word. God has plenty to say about how he wants us to think in his word. Don't be going to someone who doesn't follow Jesus. Don't give up what the scripture says. Don't let someone who's not going the way they need to go tell you the way you need to go. They could be your friends. Come on now. But God has a plan for us. God has Christians around us. I'm not saying we need to shun everybody that doesn't believe the things that we believe. That would be the wrong heart. But they for sure should not have a piece of our heart. We should love them unconditionally. But actually, God may have put you in their lives to help them go the right way. Wouldn't it be a shame if God placed you in someone's life to help them go the right way and they started pulling you the wrong way? Wouldn't it be a shame if God wrote this amazing, amazing scripture, this amazing text for us? He spent hundreds and thousands of years compiling this thing. And some of us are like, I wonder what the people at Fox think. I wonder what's happening on CNN or The Blaze. They'll tell me how I should think. No. Let Jesus and the people who are close to his heart. You got to walk away from some people. Let Jesus and the people that are close to his heart influence the way you think. And then finally, God wants us to be closer to our purpose. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13 says, "For I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me." Is anybody glad that we serve a God that has a plan and a purpose for our lives? Is anybody glad that he has plans to prosper us and to take us to another level? Come on, God doesn't just want us to pray. God wants us to seek him wholeheartedly for his purpose and plan for our lives. He doesn't want dinner time prayer Christians. I pray at dinner, that's fine. But God wants us to seek him. All right, God, well, where are you at? You know where I am. No, God wants us to seek him with our whole hearts. God has a purpose for you, not just to survive, not just to pay your bills, not just to have a good time. He has a purpose for you to thrive and to reach the people around you for him. He has a purpose for you to know who you are, to know who he's created you to be. He has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you to succeed and to go to the next level, to go from glory to glory and not just stay in the same place. To not be struggling with the same things this year that we were struggling with last year. To not be getting offended by the same things this year as we were last year. To not be reaching just the same amount of people this year as we were last year. God has a purpose for you to go higher and higher, but you're not going to discover that purpose until you get closer to him. And it's something that we're all working out. I'm not standing here saying that I know everything that God has for me. No, but I continue to get closer to him because I need that next step. I need that next move. When you and the people around you are in the boat like Peter and the disciples, waves crashing, taking on water, you're afraid. You don't know what's going to happen next. Are you going to be like those other disciples that stayed in their seat? Or are you going to be like Peter, who looked off in the distance and he saw something and he decided to take a step of faith and he got out of the boat and he started walking towards Jesus? God calls us to get out of the boat. God calls us to move closer to him. Are you going to be like Moses when you see off in the distance that burning bush? Are you going to say, "I have to go see. I have to go find out"? Or are you going to follow the sheep? You know, you can't be following the sheep and learning God's purpose for you at the same time. You have to choose. You have to choose to leave behind whatever it is. Whatever you're following, if you're following the wrong thing, if you're close to the wrong thing, and you have to decide, "I'm going to move closer to Jesus. I'm going to move closer to him." Let me wrap up with this. Earlier I was talking about how when we move closer to Jesus, one of the things that he does is he saves us. We can't get closer to Jesus and stay at the same level. God will lift us up. God wants to save us. Maybe not from our circumstances. Jesus saving us doesn't mean that life is suddenly going to be easy or that life is even going to be fair all the time. But we will have Jesus with us. We'll be walking towards our purpose. Today I'm going to ask everybody in this room to consider making a couple decisions. The first decision that I want you to consider making is, maybe some of you know who Jesus is, but you don't know what your purpose is. Maybe you've just been in a long season of, "I'm just in the same place." And the decision I'm going to ask you to make today is just to move closer to your purpose. To say, "Jesus, I want to know what your plan for me is. I want to know." Maybe some of you do know, but you've just been so scared to step into it. Maybe you've been so hurt in your past, and you're saying, "Gosh, like, Jordan, I would love to be closer to God, but I don't know how to do it, or I'm hurting." Well, being closer to Jesus is the easy part.
All we have to do to be closer to Jesus is walk away from our past. There's two things. You walk away from your past, you leave the old behind, and you take those steps towards being closer to Jesus by praying, by worshiping, by reading your Bible. You just do the things that he's called you to do. You just take the steps. Can you guys close your eyes with me? If you're in that first group of people, you're saying, man, I know who God is. I even love God. I know God loves me. But I know that I'm not walking out my purpose. I know that there's more for me. I know that God has something for me to do. Maybe you're just not sure what it is. Can you guys raise your hands if that's you? Nobody looking around. If you just want God to help you move closer to your purpose. Hands going up all over the room. Hands going up all over the room. That's beautiful. Okay, go ahead and put your hands down. Then the second group of people that I want to pray for is maybe there's someone in here right now that's saying like, man, I'm far from Jesus. Maybe you've never opened your heart up to him before, or maybe you at one point were close to him, but instead of getting closer, you've moved further away. And you just want to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I open my heart to you. I want to be close to you. Can I see those hands? Just nobody looking around. I see that hand. I see your hand up front. I see these two hands over here. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? This is your chance right now to say, Jesus, I know I'm far from you. I want to make a change right now. I want to move closer to you. Okay, go ahead and put your hands down. So I'm just going to pray. And as I'm praying, you just say, God, that's me. That prayer's for me. Dear Jesus, first I pray for everybody in this room that knows who you are, that loves you, but just for whatever reason, they've been at the same level. For whatever reason, they just don't know what you want them to do. They don't know their purpose. They don't know the plan that you have for them. God, I pray all across this room, you saw those hands that were raised and even the hands that were too nervous to be raised. God, I pray that you would speak to your people right now. I pray an outpouring of purpose, God. Would you speak and give direction and clarity right now all across this room? God, I pray open heaven over these people's lives, that you would just give them direction in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we want to know what you want us to do. We want to know where you want us to go, God. Even in fear, even if we're a little nervous, we say, God, show me your plan for my life. Show me the next step to take. Help me to know why I was put here. Help me to know my giftings. Help me to know my anointings. Help me to know the things that you have for me to do. God, I pray that you would speak. And God, I also pray for those hands that went up saying that they're far from you, Jesus. And they want to open up their hearts to you. God, would you just reveal yourself? Would you flood their lives with your love? Would you help them right now, where they're seated, to have an understanding of how much you love them, how you feel about them, the thoughts that you have towards them, God? And would you give them the courage and the boldness to walk out their faith, to leave this building here today, and to choose to never be the same, to never go back? In Jesus' mighty name. We had about 5 or 6 hands of people saying that they wanted to open their hearts to Jesus. I think we ought to give God some praise for that right now. There's a prayer that we're going to put up that I want everybody in this room, no matter what your level of faith or where you are, I'd like us all to just say this prayer together. 3, 2, 1, go. Dear Lord, I want to be closer to you. I confess at times that I've been trying to get close to the wrong things. Show me how to be closer to your heart, closer to the right people, and closer to my purpose. I give you my heart, Lord. Help me to step out of the boat when you call on me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give glory to God.
Tell Pastor Jordan he did a great job with the message today. How many appreciate that? God is raising up a whole generation. I tell you, the future is looking good. Amen. We got a ton of leaders coming up through the house of God here that are just going to continue on taking the church forward for years and years to come. And many of you are a part of that. Now, we're going to close the service by giving you an opportunity to worship the Lord with your giving. The ushers are going to come. And then we're going to have a little bit of Holy Spirit time. If you need healing, the elders, this is Healing and Communion Sunday. So the elders are going to make their way forward to the front of the auditorium. We've got some oil here. And you know, the Bible's very specific. If any among you is sick, any among you needs healing, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil. Pray for the sick. So today, as we've taken communion, we're just in extra expectation that there can be healing miracles. So at the end of the service, if you need healing, just come on, connect with our elders and receive healing. All right. Thank you for your giving. Let's worship the Lord. I'll come back in just a minute and speak a final blessing on you.
Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and thank the Lord. He's moving in this place. Just one more minute, we're going to worship Him. Come on, stay focused. Let's sing it together. Your love is so deep, it's washing over me.
And your love so deep, it's washing over me. Your face is all I seek. You are my everything. Jesus Christ, you are my one desire. Lord, hear my only cry to know you all my life. Sing it out. Love so deep is washing over me. Your face is all I seek. You are my everything, Lord. Jesus Christ, you are my one desire.
Father, I thank you for your love. Thank you for your power to heal us. For your blessing, Lord, on our lives. Let it rest so strong on us. Heal everyone that needs healing, Lord, in this room. And Lord, again, we just ask you to bless our nation as we celebrate this week our freedom, our principles, the high ideals that make us special. I pray, Lord, that you would just let your blessing rest on our country, Lord, and straighten us out where we need it. Build us up where we need it. And bless us, Lord, because without you, we're nothing, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for all our blessings. We receive now your love. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you for coming today. Guys, it's been great. Love you all. Have a wonderful, safe, and awesome week. And if you need healing, the elders are here. We'd love to pray for you. God bless you.